Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we dive into your word, I pray that you be with me, cure my ailment tonight, Lord, that I may be able to focus. And Father, if it be your will, that you move me aside altogether and let your word speak what you'd have for us. Lord, help us to cling to the ways, Lord, cling to the old paths, that, Father, we not lose the value in them. We love the life that you've called us to. We love the things you filled our lives with and the commandments that you've given us. Lord, I just pray we never forget how valuable they are. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, we talked before a couple Sundays ago about how I love the old religion. It does not need to change. Last week was, I love this old book. Well, tonight I'd like to discuss, I love these old hymns. Now you say, well, brother, that's not exactly a biblical thing. It's something that we write. Well, as we see here in this passage of Scripture, music is for the purpose of encouraging us. Encouraging us for what? Well, for the cause of Christ. Right? Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Have you ever really stopped and considered why we use these old hymns? The reason, of course, goes beyond the idea that older is better. In fact, there are many hymns that, though they have antiquity, have very little spiritual value at all. Hymns have a purpose and do us a lot of good when they are spiritually accurate. Hymns were performed by David as he lay in fields with his sheep. They were performed in the throne room of Saul to combat his fits of passion. A hymn was sung at the dinner table where the Last Supper was served. There was singing in jail cells where disciples abode. They have kept Scripture in our hearts, taught us, and given us warnings down through the generations. David's were preserved, and while many have disappeared, more have taken their place. But there are rules, of course, to hymns and spiritual songs that makes them either valuable or an absolute waste of time. And I understand that does not sound very nice. Whenever you get to talking about music, it kind of seems like you're splitting hairs. Well, some hairs need to be split. Why? Because we're singing songs sometimes. I say we editorially, we sing songs that are scripturally inaccurate. Now, if we would not have that doctrine preached from our pulpits, we ought not sing doctrine from the same pulpits. We ought not lift that song up. There have been many songs down through the years that have been written, and they're borderline blasphemy. Right? That's that song, Oh, What a Savior. I love that song, except for one verse. They searched through heaven, and they found a Savior. Like it was undecided until that point. Like they put up posters, wanted one Savior. Like God had lost a portion of himself or had not planned on what to do. Well, we'll need a Savior. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I've clearly overthought this. Right? Or songs that, again, take us off of the purpose of what we're supposed to be doing. Another song that will drive me crazy is that song, Farther Along. Tested and tried. And it just goes on and on. We're beat up. We're torn down. But we'll understand it eventually. Well, I feel uplifted. Let's go knock on some doors. It removes the idea that God is in control of all things and that things are understandable or not understandable, but it doesn't matter. Why? Why are we often buffeted? Because it's a sin-cursed earth. Why do we suffer sickness and death? Because it's a sin-cursed earth. I understand it now. This is not heaven, so I understand it now. Right now, some things are there for our edification, some for our strength, some to encourage us. Either way, we can understand it right now. There are songs that are in the church that should not necessarily be there. Right now, sometimes before you come up and you'll sing a special, I've said this, I want to see the lyrics. I want to see the song. Want to know why? Is it because I don't trust you? No, it's because I got to answer for that. I do. What is preached and taught from this pulpit? Well, brother, I wasn't preaching, I was singing. Right now, I've not had that here. I don't want anybody scanning their head going, did I sing a special? And it flew up his nose. Right? I would have come talk to you. But I'm making a point. Why is it that he wants to see the lyrics? I'm checking it for scriptural accuracy. I am. Why? Because it doesn't belong up here. It doesn't belong even in my music collection if it is not scripturally accurate. Many preachers just like me, they'll sit up and they'll rail against contemporary Christian music. Why? Well, number one, the lyrics. Number two, the lyrics. All right, now some people that are a little bit more music-minded than me, they can tell me why the music and the structure of it may be unscriptural to a certain degree, why you can't sit there and have Christian rap music. They'll be able to explain that to you fundamentally. I can't. I'm sure it's there. But to me, it's the lyrics. When I can't tell the difference between this song and a love song, there's a problem. When I can't tell the difference between who's talking, are you talking about you and yourself and the effect that you've had on yourself with Christianity, or are you talking about Christ? Sometimes I sit there, I listen to a song and go, I don't know where this one's cut. I don't know what this one's talking about, right? So I'll skip it. I'll move on. Why? Because if I'm looking for some spiritual edification, if I'm looking for some encouragement, even if I'm looking for some entertainment, I'm going to want some scriptural accuracy. All right, there are some amazing singers that sadly, there's just some songs I can't listen to of theirs. Right? And some folks, it's hard. Like, man, you're a really good singer. Too bad you ain't got nothing good. Right? I don't mean to be mean. I can't sing anything well. Right? I'm jealous. But man, too bad you ain't got nothing scriptural I can sink my teeth into. Something that's accurate. I mean, again, I don't want to sit there and get a doctrinal lesson in every song. Some are just for praise. Some are just for just getting excited about the Lord. But, whew, they get far off, way off. Number one, if I'm listening to a song, if I'm going to qualify something as a hymn, and the definition of a hymn, by the way, is a song can be defined as any lyric with tunes, but a hymn is a formal song sung to God for the purpose of worship. In order for us to know whether or not something we're listening to or something we want to sing is accurate, we must or good, we must first ask the question, is it scriptural? Is it true all the way through this thing? Now, again, people will debate this. They'll push back on it. They'll say, hey, listen, it doesn't have to be perfect. If it is for the Lord, it better be perfect. It better be perfect. Right? It'd be like if you were in band in high school and you're going to play Happy Birthday for your band director and you mess it up. Now, that could affect your grade. It's embarrassing. The one who knows is the one you're okay messing up in front of. No. If I'm going to sit there and worship the Lord with music, it has to be scripturally accurate. It must be right. Well, sometimes I just write what I feel. Well, that's fine that you write what you feel, but do you have to share that with the Lord? Because what you're telling him is what I feel is more valuable to me than what you've told me. It's not right. Not right. Now, I like this one, too. They'll get up, and every now and then you see somebody, they'll sing a song, and it is so bereft of Scripture, so bereft of accuracy. But they always start off like this, God gave me this song. Well, you better check the card again, because I don't think that came from him. He wouldn't have written that. Now, again, it's not about being mean. It's not about being superior. It's about being accurate. Right? What does it say here again in verse 16? Right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There should be an education, a little bit of it, in the music that we have. Again, it doesn't have to be a Sunday school lesson, But it should be something in there that'll sit there and point to others. Think of the songs that we sang this afternoon or this evening. They all pointed to Christ, right? We sang one that pointed to His death. We pointed to salvation. To where when people heard us singing it, it might have even led them to Christ. What other things does it teach us? Hymns can teach us how to embrace and deal and survive and heal through suffering. Right? One of my absolute favorite songs. Right? My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Written by a man who was suffering from losing his entire family. Sitting there singing about the grace of God. Talking about how good God is. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I mean, you think about how beautiful that is. And again, it's not just the beauty. There's scripture in it. There's truth in it. And again, that gives it value. What gives music value? It's who it points to, and does it do it right? It must be educational. It also should be some warning in there. There should be some warnings in the songs about sin. Well, can we sing about sin? That's not really uplifting. We should be singing about sin. If there's a song in the book and we're singing it and it talks about giving up sin and all to Jesus I surrender, we need songs like that. They give that warning, right? And there's some that should encourage us. Though no one join me, still I will follow. We need those that encourage us on to keep in the battle, keep going. We need songs that tell us things. We need songs that encourage us in things. We need biblically accurate hymns. And again, what they must be, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the fathers by him. What we do musically, what we do in everything should point to God. What is the purpose of preaching? To point people to the Lord. It should be from Scripture, out of Scripture, based in Scripture, contained Scripture. That's what you want out of a sermon, am I right? Our song should be no different. They should be about the Lord Christ. Well, so you're saying you never sit there and listen to Hank Williams? You never listen to this person, that person? Listen, those songs will pull you away from God. What you want is something that honors God, that glories God. That's what you want. Because otherwise, what are we doing? Otherwise, again, it goes back to our Sunday school lesson. We have lost our grip on the doctrine of separation, where we ought to be different and not allow ourselves to have that sort of thing going on. I hate to say this. When I was growing up, we had a dog that wasn't very well potty trained. You ever? I did not invite friends over for the smell in my house. Now, we lived in a trailer that was built in the 90s, right? Which means when it got hot outside, it baked inside. Now, again, I want you to call back what I just said about the dog. We got one a window air conditioner and a bunch of fans to blow that around the house, right? It reeked. I hated that dog. I did. But it smelled. When anything happens like that in my house, get out to scrub. We just scrub anything. I fought so hard against the cats. I told you the story about the cats, right? Danielle wanted a cat. Xander talked me into a cat. I went to the thing. There was two cats, and how we decided that is I just came home with both cats. Being somebody who's worked in the apartment industry before, I hate cats. I hated cats when I was a kid. I hated cats when I was an adult, and now I have cats. And again, I watch. I'll walk into that house, and I can smell it. Change the box! All right, well, you're being a little too... Nope, change the box. Not going back. Mm-mm. Like, even the spot, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to know they're there. Don't come sit on my lap. Just go. Why? Because I hate that smell. Hate that smell. Right? And even when I was working, I knew that was a chunk of my budget. I was about to have to throw after some cat. If you ask me, I think not only should you have a pet fee for cats, it should be like triple what it is for dogs. This is a sermon. I got to get back on track. Anyway, what was the purpose of that entire rat, that cat I just chased? Is this? I hate the smell. I don't want anything that, I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to come home and smell that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Right? That's what some songs do. They'll pull you back to where you were. That night when you were on your knees or on your face or in your chair or on the pew, wherever it was you were, and you begged God to forgive you, some songs that pull you right back to that old way of living. Right? I think country music, they think they're clever. Where they talk about, well, it talks about Jesus, yet also talks about Jack Daniels. Also talks about whiskey. It also talks about beer. It also talks about going out and fooling around. It talks about promiscuity. But yeah, you're right. The singer did make it to church on Sunday in the story, so that makes it okay. It doesn't. It doesn't. It should point to the Lord, should bring honor and glory to the Lord, and not reek of sin. It must be an expression to God of love, of love. Now you think about this. I would never want to say that our generations have become passionless. But folks, we just don't write the poetry the way that we used to. Look at the book of Psalms. Look at what David wrote on his worst days, living in a cave, no shower, right? Sitting there running for his life, what he was able to write. And you look at what we've got today. Jesus, oh Jesus, ooh. Powerful. Now again, I'm not trying to be superior, I'm not trying to be mean, but there's a difference. There's a difference. I brought up a song recently. It was George Yance that sang it. We don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Tell me that. There was another song that he used to sing. I love the cathedrals, man. Going home. I love that. Or there'd be times where they, at the retirement, they sat on the stairs and sang, search me, O God, after all these years of being in the gospel and music industry. Search me, O God. Now, I'm not saying they're perfect. They got sin. I'm not saying they're perfect. They don't line up with us doctrinally. But I will say this, that was a good song. Scripture-based song. We need things that point and show our love for God. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, you're so good to me. We want to point to the love of God and how much we love Him. The next thing that it must do is it must show gratitude. Must show gratitude. Right? One of my favorite sayings, whenever something happens in our family, whenever a blessing comes our way, I always say the same thing. Lord, you taught me joy. Lord, you taught me. You know, there's a million things to be miserable about, isn't there? There really is. $5.19 a gallon. Right, it is muggy. You walk outside, you got gnats all over the place. You can be miserable about the gnats outside. You can be miserable about whether you got crops, whether you don't got crops. You can be miserable about your neighbor. You can be miserable about the way your car is driving, the roads, the taxes, the government, your family, your friends. You can be miserable about your own toes. Whatever. A million things to be miserable about, but I tell you what, the Lord teaches us joy. He does. And there was a song that I pulled that from. And the guy he's just talking about all the things that Lord has done for him. He goes, to sit around my table with my children and my wife, to recognize the riches and the simple things of life. To hear I love you, Daddy, and to kiss my sleeping boy. It just goes on. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all you've given me. Well, I'm struggling right now. Yeah. But you know what? The Lord's going to help you get through that just like He helped get you through everything else. And you know what? The Lord's kept you with other things that you had that maybe you wouldn't have had without Him. The Lord's going to keep you centered, surround you with people. He's going to stir up their hearts towards you. There's tons of things to be grateful for. Tons of things to say thank you for. And you know what? We can do it through song. We can do it through song. And we ought to do it. If we're going to sing, if we're going to have music, it ought to show our gratitude to God. Again, go back to those Psalms. Go back to what David wrote. Thank you for delivering me. Or singing about all those men that were after him. The wicked of the world chasing after him. He talked and sang about all those things. But in the end, God delivered him. He had gratitude. Let us have the same. Our songs must also speak of adoration. Well, Lord, or brother, how is that different from love? Adoration is different. I'll show up to church because I love the Lord. I'll put my neck on the line for the Lord. I'll serve Him. I'll put my energy into it because I love Him. But what about adoration? Right? Can I pick on the married couple for a second? The newly married couple for a second. Can I do that? Y'all cute. You guys are cute. Yeah. So I looked over. You go, hey, arms around. It's nice. It's nice. Right? Do you guys spend every second? I bet bathroom breaks are real hard. Honey, I'm taking a shower. Come back. That's the way it was. That's the way it was, wasn't that? You know, first married, that's nice. It is. But you know what eventually starts to wear down? The adoration. Now you can preserve it. I'm not trying to doom you, all right? You preserve it. You work at it. There's a couple over at Flat Rock. I tell you what, every day they live just like how I see you two. And they've been married longer than I've been alive. You can keep adoration going. Or you can let days, irritations, small things build up. Right? Danielle, when I first started going back to work after, you know, we both had to go back to work, I miss you. Nowadays, I'll sit there and text her, what are we doing for food? Haven't thought that far yet. I can't wait till you get home. Now it's let the dog out. Hurry up. No, I'm kidding, but it changes. And you don't have to let that adoration slip away in anything that you love. We ought not let our adoration for the Lord slip away. Right, and it starts off like this. Well, if I talk about the Lord here, I might get some backlash. I got to be careful. Right? I was at my uncle's funeral. They asked me to stand up and give a message. So I stand up and I gave him a message. My uncle was not a religious man. His friends were not religious people. As a matter of fact, they were the party hard rock and roll, who is this God anyway kind of people. So I knew that. Want to guess what kind of message I stood up and I gave? I gave the gospel. Why? Because I'm not ashamed of him. Right? And well, my uncle's not going to say anything about it anyway. Not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. You let shame creep in, you'll drop your adoration real fast. You'll hide them. Did you get a picture of her to carry around with you? You have it on your phone? Is that on your lock screen? He knows what he's doing. Used to be you'd have to carry it in your wallet. Right, I'll let you check Brother Charlie's wallet, see if he's got a picture of his wife. Because he's got a flip phone. So if you're traveling around Michigan and get down to Henry Ford, you let them know there's still one in existence. Right? Call Ripley's, they won't believe it. But now that adoration is there. Oh, look at her. Do you have a picture of her and you? Do you? Well, you're kind of a handsome guy. Because me, I'm like, oh, look at her. And the troll she's sitting next to? Not you, you're handsome. I'm talking about me. The adoration's there. Oh. Where's your adoration for the Lord? Is it as fresh as it should be? If not, you need to practice that. Right? Have some love. There, you ever see that movie, Fireproof, where the main character there, he's trying to win his wife back, so he makes her a cup of coffee and she looks at it like it might be poisoned? Is your love for the Lord like that? Where if you were to start singing, it'd be mighty suspicious? No, work at it. Put effort into it. That poor sap had to work the entire movie to win her back. But I tell you what, all we've got to do is go to the Lord. Tell him how grateful we are of him. Tell him how much we love him. Tell him what you think of him. You can even tell him how you feel about him. I know it's a Baptist church, but we can have some feelings. Feelings are good, especially the ones directed towards God. And speaking of things needing to be directed towards God, that's exactly what music should be. It's exactly what it should be. Should be directed towards God. Because again, music, especially hymns, when we're singing here in church, it's not about what you can get out of it. You can get a lot out of music. You really can. You can get a lot out of the hymns. But guess what? It's not just about you. It's about the God we're singing them to. You understand that? Did we sing good today? Did we sing bad today? It doesn't matter. Did you make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Well, if we change our music, we can get more people. That's not what music is for. And by the way, statistically, that don't work. You just don't. Oh, but that's what all the other churches are doing. Yeah, but that's not the purpose of music. At least not in church. What do we ought to do? What should we be doing with music? We should be doing more than just entertaining ourselves. But I'll tell you what, there are some good Christian songs that are pretty entertaining. You know, there's some songs in our hymn books, man. A little tap on your shoe, you'll go, oh, no, we're not Pentecostal. Put it down. Excited. It's okay to get excited about what we're singing. It's okay to sit there and say, wow, I love that hymn. There are hymns I come up here, I'm like, man, can we sing that one more time? It's good. But it's not just for the sake of entertainment. And it's not sung for anybody here in this room. It's sung unto the Lord. And that is the criteria. I'm presenting this to the Lord. And with anything that we would present to the Lord, we would want it to be good. We would want it to be accurate. We would want it to honor Him. That's what we would want. We want to make sure we give Him a gift that matters, a gift that would mean something. To Him. That's what we should do. You know, it would be the same. You know, it took me a while to figure out what kind of gifts to give Danielle. Because she doesn't want anything. Right? I've told you about this before. She's not here, so I can pick on her. She doesn't want anything. Took me a while. I guessed at things. I've been giving her cast iron pots and pans. I'm not entirely sure that's a good thing. Right? For our anniversary this year, I'm like, well, we bought a house. I'm not entirely sure that was a good move. That might not have been a good thing to say. You know, why? Because when I give a gift, I want to give a gift that best suits that person, right? Right? I'm not going to go over to on Xander's birthday and show up and give him something that I would like. Right? Oh, you know what you want? You want a new steering wheel cover, buddy. Here you go. Happy birthday. Right? Oh, Cashman, happy birthday, buddy. You're getting a lawnmower. That's nice. That's real nice. Right? All right, Sister Dalberta, got you a set of golf clubs. Happy birthday. They're left-handed and they're Xander's. So. And we think about that. Why would I give a gift to somebody that doesn't want it? I want to make sure it's right. I want to make sure it's good. I want to make sure it's something that they would enjoy. So when I give the gift of song to God, I want to make sure it's right. I want to make sure it's good. I want to make sure it's accurate. I want to make sure it fits Him, that it's deserving of Him. And by the way, I can't think of too much. I mean, He deserves far more than we could ever put pen to. Far better than we could ever pick up a guitar and play. He deserves more. So I tell you what, whatever effort we make, it better be good. It better be good. Music is not just about entertainment, though it can be. It is more than entertainment. It's more than approval. It's more than approval. Right? So I got something in the mail about those Hillsong people. That Hillsong church, and they've got some music that they put out, and there was some abuses recently. And all it said on the top of it is, why you shouldn't sing Hillsong songs in your church. And you know what? I didn't even have to read that. I know why. That's scripturally accurate. Yeah, but don't you want people to like with the music in your church? I absolutely do, but I want you to like it for the right reason. I don't want you to like it because it sounds a whole lot like what they're doing in the pop music world. I want you to be able to hear it, and I want it to move you closer to God. That's why I want you to like it. Well, you know, you catch more flies with honey. Who wants flies? Who wants flies? This is about the Lord, not catching flies. yeah, I'll get a lot more approval. Oh, you can do that. Oh, you guys got that? Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I could sit there. I could put an electric guitar in Sister, Sister Paula's hand. Give her one of them sharp electrical guitars. Give her one of those. Put Brother Bill on the drums. Right? We'll get a keyboard going. We'll get some synthetic music happening. We'll put Brother Wade on the fog machine. I can go around town. Hey, Pastor Matt Rowland, Home Missionary Baptist Church, just wanted to invite you to our new improved music at our church services. We'd love to have you there. Do you guys have a contemporary band? Oh, they're contemporary. Brand new. But you cannot get more right now than these people. We could do that. But it won't do anything. It won't do anything. Right, we could sit there and argue right and wrong over what kind of instrument should or should not be played. But the point of the matter is this, is that music is there to edify, not to garner approval. Not to garner approval. You know what? We could fill this place up if we just sang some rock songs. Right? If we turned it into a sing-along, we'd have a little karaoke. You'd probably do a good job. But that's not the purpose of the music. It is not to get people to say, wow, that's impressive, because that's what they'll do. They'll say, wow, that's impressive, and what will they do? They'll, right? Wait, I don't want to just get people through the door. I want them to stay. And how do you get people to stay? Is it entertainment? Have a lot of stuff? No, well, it's failed right, left, and center. It's the gospel. It's the truth. And no, we may never win the numbers that the world likes. But I tell you what, we'll have it right with God. That's what matters to me. Now, the other thing that we've got to be concerned about is money. Now, our church, with our hymns, will not make money in doing what we're doing. As a matter of fact, I get concerned. No, I'm kidding. But no, we'll never be able to load up into a tour bus and take this show on the road. But there are some folks out there, and they use Christian music as a way of making money. You know, you talk to some of these guys, they load up onto the bus. They disappear for 50 weeks out of the year. That's a phenomenal church member. Well, brother, you know, they're out there serving through the church. No, it's their business. They run a business. Okay. I mean, what would you do if I had a business going out there preaching and that was my business, preaching for 50 weeks out of the year? I don't even think you'd ask for a resignation. There'd be a firing. That's not ministry. Now, again, I like good music, but it should be done right. Should be done right. Stay at home. Stay close to your church. You can sit there. You can make those recordings. You can go out 3, 4, whatever weeks, work it out, make it part of a ministry in the church. But we ought not ever be sitting there trying to make excessive amounts of money where we, again, are doing exactly what a more carnally minded church member would be doing, but because we're doing it for Christian music, we're better. No, the Lord comes first. My service to Him in the church comes first. Ultimately, what it all comes down to is, what is it that I am saying about God in music? Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There is something amazing when a church gets together and sings scriptural truth. There's something to it. You know, I've seen in the videos, I've seen in the movies, that they get together in these large numbers. They go back and forth like this. Ooh. And I know, I bet they're feeling something. I'm not making fun, right? I bet they're feeling something. I bet the music's just right and the lighting is amazing. I bet they've got a real emotional experience going on. But religion is not emotion. Religion causes emotion, but it is not emotion. What must be there? I must be saying something about God. It must be accurate and it should be good. Imagine a song, right? Come on, Mike. Love, Brother Mike. How you doing back there? Brother, you awake? Good, good. I said, oh, Brother Mike, that same thing 45 times. Brother Mike's going to have a problem with that song. Right? I bet he doesn't even listen to it once. Why? Because it's repetitious. It's irritating. It's just my name 90 times. What are you doing? Right? Let's put a little something in what we're saying. Put a little something in what we're saying. Let's be real about it. Again, we trail through the Bible and we see not just what was said in the book of Psalms, but you see when the songs were sung. I tell you right now, someone beats you half to death, throws you in an old Roman jail cell. You're not going to be down there going, ooh. You're not. What they sang was about how grateful they were to the Lord. Wonderful the Lord is. They were singing the good old-fashioned stuff long before there was the good old-fashioned stuff we enjoy. Why? Because it's about what you're saying to the Lord. It's about how you're saying it as well. Some songs, as we sit there and we sing them, have more to do with me than they do about the Lord I'm supposed to be singing. I've done this and I've done that and I've experienced this and this bad thing has happened and this horrible thing has happened, but God was there and this bad thing was happening and that happened over here and I climbed to this and I achieved that and I did this and God was there and I came over here and God's almost a footnote. It's all about us. What is it that we're saying about the Lord in our music? What is it that we're saying about our relationship in the music? When we talk to the Lord, our words matter. When we preach, our words matter. For those of you Sunday school teachers in our church, when we teach, our words matter. There is no exception for song. There is no exception for worship. It must be just as accurate as anything else we do. In failing to do so, we insult the Lord. In failing to do so, we show exactly what we really think and really feel. I've had those arguments before. Yeah, but I really like how that song goes. Yeah, but it just denied the deity of Christ. Yeah, but I tell you what, it's got a little whop to it. It's not as good. Right, well, here's a really good barn burner. We really like this song. Okay, but it denies how salvation works, right? I'm so glad I found Jesus, right? That's a good song. I love that song. I'm so glad I found Jesus. I love that. But you didn't find him. He got you. You didn't find him. Oh, but it's good. No. It's got some flaws. It's got some flaws. Right? It may look right. It may sound right, but it ain't right. So again, if the Lord takes me seriously, he doesn't want corrupt communication when I'm talking. He doesn't want it when we're singing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, we're